Blackrod completes her procession to the entrance of the House of Commons, which we should see in a moment.
It's Blackrod! Open the door!
Blackrod!
Members of the House of Commons, the Lords who are duly authorised by virtue of His Majesty's commission to declare the opening of Parliament, desire the presence of this Honourable House in the House of Peers to hear the commission read.
That's Sir Edward Lee, as Father of the House, starting to make his way alongside Blackrod. You can see the Chief Whip for the governing benches, Alan Campbell, and Stuart Andrew, his Conservative counterpart, as the second figures. And then you will see in pairs the House of Commons turn around and wait while that group of six, I think it was, make their way now back to the House of Lords to see and hear the commission.
My Lords and members of the House of Commons, we are commanded by His Majesty to let you know that it has not been convenient for him to be present here on this day in his royal person. He hath thought fit by letters patent under the Great Seal to empower several lords therein named to do all things His Majesty's name, which are to be done on His Majesty's part in this Parliament, as by the letters patent will more fully appear.
Charles III, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of our other realms and territories, King, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, to all to whom these presents shall come, greeting. Whereas, by the advice of our council, for certain arduous and urgent affairs concerning us, the state and defence of our United Kingdom and the Church, we have ordered a certain Parliament to be holden at our city of Westminster, on Tuesday the 9th day of July instant. And forasmuch as for divers causes and considerations we cannot conveniently be present in our royal person in our said Parliament upon the said Tuesday the 9th day of July, know ye that we, trusting in the fidelity, discretion and care of the most reverend Father in God and our faithful counsellor Justin Portal, Archbishop of Canterbury, Primate of all England and Metropolitan, our well-beloved and faithful counsellor, Shabana Mahmood, Chancellor of Great Britain, and others our counsellors hereinafter mentioned, by the advice of our said council, do give and grant, by the tenor of these presents, unto the said Justin Portal, Archbishop of Canterbury, Shabana Mahmood, Chancellor of Great Britain, John Francis, Lord McFall of Alcluith, Lord Speaker, Angela Evans, Baroness Smith of Basildon, Lord Privy Seal, Richard Mark, Lord Newby, William Herbert, Lord Laming, Nicholas Edward, Lord True, or any three or more of them, full power in our name to begin and hold our said Parliament, and to open and declare, and cause to be opened and declared, the causes of holding the same, and to proceed upon the said affairs in our said Parliament and in all matters arising therein, and to do everything which for us and by us and for the good government of our said United Kingdom and other our dominions thereto belonging shall be therein to be done. And also, if necessary, to continue, adjourn and prorogue our said Parliament. Commanding also by the tenor of these presents, with the assent of our said council, as well all and every the archbishops, bishops, lords, baronets and knights, as all others whom it concerns, to meet in our said Parliament, that to the same Archbishop of Canterbury, Chancellor of Great Britain, and others our councillors aforesaid, or any three or more of them, they diligently intend in the premises in the form aforesaid. In witness whereof, we have caused these our letters to be made patent. Witness ourself at Westminster, the 9th day of July, in the second year of our reign, by the King himself, signed with his own hand.
My Lords and members of the House of Commons, we have it in command from His Majesty to let you know that as soon as members of both houses shall be sworn, the causes of His Majesty calling this Parliament will be declared to you. And it being necessary that a Speaker of the House of Commons should be first chosen, it is His Majesty's pleasure that you, members of the House of Commons, repair to the place where you are to sit, and there proceed to the choice of some proper person to be your Speaker, and that you present such person, whom you shall so choose, here for His Majesty's royal approbation.
The solemn moment that connects monarchy to Parliament, the House of Lords to the King, has just seen, through his officials and his peers, the House of Lords command the start of a new Parliament for the next 5 years. Baroness Smith of Basildon saying that the King has ordered a certain Parliament to be holden at the City of Westminster, explaining the King cannot be present as much as we cannot be present, she said, nevertheless, giving instructions to the Commons to elect a new Speaker and saying that shortly the King will attend Parliament for the King's speech in just over a week, where the causes of this government will be known, the government's direction will be known. You saw Edward Lee and Diane Abbott walking back towards the House of Commons for the next part of this ceremony. Having received their instruction, they will now take that to the almost 650 figures that you can see on your screen right now in order to begin the process of choosing a new Speaker, or much more likely, reconfirming Sir Lindsay Hoyle as that individual. Sir Edward Lee takes his place at the clerk's table in order to begin the process of choosing the
order,
Speaker.
Order, order. Under the provisions of Standing Order Number 1A, I am now required to ascertain whether Sir Lindsay Hoyle is willing to be chosen as Speaker, and I call Sir Lindsay Hoyle.
Yeah!
Firstly, I'd like to thank my constituents of Chorley for returning me to this House and allowing me to put myself forward again as Speaker. It is an honour to serve the people of Chorley, as I have done steadfastly for the last 44 years as a councillor and a local, on that local authority, then the Member of Parliament for the last 27 years. I would also like to thank my wife Catherine and daughter Emma and the staff in Chorley in that constituency office for all their support. Of course, for me, it was the first time in my political career campaigning without hearing the wise words of my late father, Doug, giving me his opinions on how to campaign. Was going. He was always going to give me that. Whatever the polls were doing, whatever needed to be said, I can still hear him now saying, don't stop now, you have to keep going. Well, I've got to say, Doug, after 25,000 steps a day during the campaign, I certainly did do that. I want to say a warm welcome to all the new members of the House. May I also welcome Sir Edward Lee to his new role as Father of the House. And to Diane Abbott in her place as Mother of the House. Sir Edward, you have served this place and your constituents for 41 years. Diane, you have served for 37 years and broken many glass ceilings along the way. Thank you to the former father of the house, Sir Peter Bottomley, and of course, to the mother of the house, Baroness Harriet Harman. And can I thank them for the support that they gave me during the speakership. Sir Edward, I know you're a man that respects traditions. Indeed, when you ran for Speaker in 2019, you were keen to bring back the use of the wig for the Speaker. Hopefully, though, you'll look kindly on me and agree I still have a decent enough head of hair. Although, not quite as luscious as the former member for Lichfield. You know I'm only joking, Michael. I was thinking just the other day, you must be the only person that went to bed last Thursday evening as a father of six children and welcome the father of 649. On a serious note, it's been an absolute privilege to serve this House as the 158th Speaker. I've got to say that 4.5 years of flow. With the authority of the Chair comes great responsibility, which is something I've never taken lightly or for granted. I know from experience that decisions have consequences, but with experience comes wisdom, and if re-elected, I will be guided by that as I continue to be fair, impartial and independent. To say I have had the most unusual speakership in the last Parliament is an understatement. From ensuring that the House could function during the COVID pandemic, and to new members, they might want to Google the Rees-Mogg conga, to adapting technology developed during COVID to allow President Zelensky to be the first world leader to broadcast to MPs in this chamber. Yeah. It was, of course, an honour to represent this House at the lying in state of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, to present the address to the new King in Westminster Hall, to attend his coronation. Needless to say, in this role, you need staying power. I've already been Speaker during the tenure of 3 Prime Ministers, 2 monarchs, and 1 Jim Shannon. There has never been a dull moment, but it is an incredible job which I want to continue. There is so much more still to do. Because I care about the reputation and the standards of this House, I care about enabling the government to do its job in this chamber and for the opposition to hold the government to account. I care about supporting backbenchers to pursue issues which are important to their constituencies. And as a backbench member for many years, I know how important that is. And I care about you individually, both as members who have a job to do in this building, as people trying to do those jobs with constituents, staff and families to consider. I've worked tirelessly and will continue to do so to keep members safe, which is the fundamental part of protecting democracy. On that basis, I submit myself to the House as your Speaker, seeking to be your champion. Yeah.
Honourable Member for Lancaster and Wyre to move the motion.
Thank you, Sir Edward. I beg to move that Sir Lindsay Hoyle do take the chair of the House of Commons. The best thing, as far as I'm concerned, about having Lindsay as Speaker is how good it is to have someone in the chair who doesn't have an accent. Of my constituents over the past 6 weeks, and they agree with me too. So I figured it out, Lindsay, is that we're not the ones with the accents, it's everyone else. But seriously, Lindsay is a great champion for Lancashire, just as he is for this House of Commons, and none of us in Lancashire could have imagined that Nancy Pelosi would walk those famous cobbles of Coronation Street. But Lindsay, you did it. Because it seems there's no part of Lancashire's cultural reputation that is out of bounds for Lindsay when hosting international speakers. Indeed, having a pint of mild and the Rover's return with Nancy Pelosi. And it's a great pleasure today to be able to speak about my good friend from Chorley. But Lindsay, I have several friends from Chorley.
Oh dear.
Including my office manager, Stephen, who often regales my Lancaster constituency office with tales of his childhood from Lancashire's second town. And one of my favourite anecdotes is of Chorley Zoo, and I didn't know Chorley had a zoo. Apparently it's known as Chog Zoo, which might be a first reference of Chog in Hansard, which is the slang for Chorley. But upon further investigation, this zoo was in fact Pets Corner in Astley Park. However, to this day, I suspect a young Stephen was actually mistaking the Hoyle household menagerie as an actual zoo. Because with cats, dogs, parrots and tortoises, Lindsay Hoyle really does live out that truism that we are a nation of animal lovers. But if you head 3 hours south from Lancashire, you'll find yourself here. And arriving in this grand building as a newly elected member is daunting. The weight of pressure that you feel to deliver for your constituents, to use parliamentary procedures that seem so confusing, to bring about the change that you've promised, can be immense. And it can be difficult to know where to start. But a good place to start is by electing a good Speaker of the House of Commons, one with experience of eventualities that could not be foreseen. Lindsay recalled in his remarks the COVID restrictions we needed to adapt to at speed during the pandemic. Indeed, he is the Speaker who steered us through that pandemic and steered us through those rees-mogg congas. He adapted procedures for the times we found ourselves in. But it's also important to know that you have a Speaker who champions the voices of us backbenchers, one who ensures that all voices, government and opposition, are heard. Our Speaker is fair, impartial and independent. Newly elected members will find a great friend in our Speaker, and I know I have. Being from Lancashire myself, I have had the good fortune of knowing Lindsay before I was elected here. And over the years, he has been a great source of advice and guidance, some of which I took and some of which I chose to ignore. But all I can say is that the advice that I ignored, I regret ignoring and live to tell the consequences. So, despite being annoyingly right about many things, which is a good Lancashire trait, by the way, he will ensure that his door is open to all members at times of need. And I can vouch that he does a good brew. It's Yorkshire tea, though. But if you prefer something from the right side of the Pennines, from the Red Rose County, it's the only place on this estate I've managed to get a hot Vimto outside of my own office. However, Lindsay, we all have our character flaws. And regrettably, Lindsay does not support Lancashire's finest football team, Barrow. Instead, donning the colours of Bolton Wanderers. But note, we have a Bolton Wanderers fan. But note, that is a team which has both blue and red on its crest, and I think that exemplifies Mr. Speaker's even-handedness. And as a proud champion of Lancashire's rugby league tradition, when outside of Westminster, his favourite place is cheering on Warrington Wolves, or in the summer months, Lancashire County Cricket. And like all good sports people, Lindsay knows fair play and hard work. And for all those reasons, and so many more, I am proud and honoured to propose that Sir Lindsay Hoyle takes the chair today.
The question is that Sir Lindsay Hoyle do take the chair of this House as Speaker. As many as are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many as of that opinion say no, to the contrary, I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Sir Lindsay Hoyle being dragged to the chair now after a unanimous re-election as Speaker. Just a few months ago, dozens of MPs opposing him continuing in that job, now electing unopposed. You can see David Davis, one of the veterans of the Commons, and
Before
Kat Smith.
I take the chair of Speaker-elect, I wish to thank the House for the honour that is again bestowed upon me. I am aware that it is the greatest honour it can give any of its members. I propose to do all within my power to preserve and cherish its best traditions.
Yeah.
Right, can I just also say thank you to both of you, Kat and David, thank you. Before I call the Prime Minister, could I just say that we have a busy day ahead of us with further ceremony in the House of Lords and the most returning honourable members to be sworn in. I therefore encourage speeches from Prime Ministers, the opposition and other leaders that I would discourage, that I would hope they can be quite brief today. And I do hope that members will respect that it is only leaders, and I'm sorry for other members that may wish to speak. But I've got to say a big thank you to the staff of this House for the way that they've ensured all new members, the way that they've been brought in and shown the way around. I hope the buddies and everybody involved has made a real difference. I've got to say, it is light years from 97 when I first came in. And may we continue with that. I now call the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. Yeah!
Mr. Speaker-elect, on behalf of the whole House, may I be the first to congratulate you on your re-election. Those of us here in the previous Parliament will always remember the wonderful support that you provided to the former Conservative member, Craig McKinley, yeah, and his inspiring battle to overcome his injuries from sepsis. All of those returning will remember, as I do, the speech he gave just a few weeks ago, which was inspiring and moving, and we wish him well, and I had the privilege on that occasion to meet his family and his young daughter. That support, Mr. Speaker-elect, was characteristic of your profound care for the interests and welfare of all members, especially backbenchers. And I'm grateful that new members will be able to look to you as they begin the great privilege of serving their constituents in this House. And may I too welcome each and every one of the new members who is here for the first time starting their great responsibility. May I also thank Sir Edward for presiding over this election and congratulate him on becoming the new Father of the House. Amen. More than 40 years of continuous service, that is a stunning achievement. And now, back in the 1970s, Sir Edward wrote a book described as, and I quote, a personal collection of quotations dating from 3000 BC to the present day, which might be said to cast some light on the workings of the Tory mind. Mr. Speaker-elect, after the last 6 weeks, I think it might be time for a new edition. Mr. Speaker-elect, you preside over a new parliament, the most diverse parliament by race and gender this country has ever seen. Yeah. And I'm proud of the part that my party has played in that, proud of the part that every party has played in that, including in this intake, the largest cohort of LGBT plus MPs of any parliament in the world. Yeah. And given all that diversity, Mr. Speaker-elect, I hope you will not begrudge me for a slight departure from convention, to also pay tribute to the new mother of the House, Diane Abbott, yeah, who has done so much in her career over so many years to fight for a parliament that truly represents modern Britain. We welcome her back to her place. And now, as in any new parliament, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to put an end to a politics that has too often seemed self-serving and self-obsessed, and to replace that politics of performance with the politics of service. Yeah. Because service is a precondition for hope and trust, and the need to restore trust should weigh heavily on every member here, new and returning alike. We all have a duty to show that politics can be a force for good. So whatever our political differences, it's now time to turn the page, unite in a common endeavour of national renewal, and make this new Parliament a Parliament of service. Thank you.
Yeah. I now call the Leader of the Opposition, Rishi Sunak.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Speaker-elect, I'm pleased to join the Prime Minister in welcoming you back to the Speaker's chair, and can I also praise the wonderful speech from the Honourable Member for Lancaster and Wyre. Yeah. And can I start by congratulating the Prime Minister on his election victory? And as he takes on his formidable task, he and his family deserve the good wishes of all of us, yeah, in this House. Yeah. Now, in our politics, we can argue vigorously, as the Prime Minister and I did over the past 6 weeks, but still respect each other. And whatever disputes we may have in this Parliament, I know that everyone in this House will not lose sight of the fact that we are all motivated by our desire to serve our constituents, our country, and advance the principles that we honourably believe in. Yeah. And to every member, new and old, let me welcome them to their places and congratulate them on their results. To be sent to this place by one's constituents is the greatest honour, privilege, and responsibility. I know every one of us will be trying to repay the trust placed in us, and I look forward to continuing to represent the interests of my own rural North Yorkshire constituents. One of the great aspects of our system is no matter how high you rise, you still have that constituency which keeps you grounded. And my advice to all members is to appreciate the role that you have every day that you have it. And for those of us in my party, let me begin with a message to those who are no longer sitting behind me. I am sorry. We have lost too many diligent, community-spirited representatives whose wisdom and expertise will be missed in the debates and discussions ahead. It is important that after 14 years in government, the Conservative Party rebuilds. So now we will take up the crucial role of His Majesty's official opposition, professionally, effectively, and humbly. And restoring trust begins by remembering that being here is an opportunity to do what those we serve expect of us. And in our case, that means holding the new government to account. Can I congratulate the Father of the House, the member for Gainsborough? My right honourable friend has given 41 years of remarkable, dedicated service to this House and his constituency. I know full well how ferociously my right honourable friend fights for the interests of his constituents, and I applaud him for that. My right honourable friend is also testament to the benefits of an early morning dip in the Serpentine. And members may be interested to note that the Bottomleys have also had a big influence on my right honourable friend's career. It was in 1974 that my right honourable friend ran against Arthur Bottomley in Middlesbrough in his first effort to enter this place. And today, he takes over from Sir Peter, who will be missed. And can I also congratulate the new mother of the House, the member for Hackney North and Stoke Newington. We have our differences on policy, but no one can deny the Right Honourable Lady's important role in this House and the inspiration for so many young women of colour that she has provided. The Right Honourable Lady is true in every sense of the word, a trailblazer. And can I join with you, Mr. Speaker-elect, to thank House staff for their hard work in welcoming our new colleagues to this House and their service over the coming Parliament. And finally, may I congratulate you, Mr. Speaker-elect. When you first ascended to the Speaker's chair, you did so with a healthy majority, and that was testament to your wide appeal and the confidence in which this House places in you and your judgments. The last Conservative Prime Minister, the Right Honourable John Major, who spoke from these opposition benches, said about the role of the Speaker, "The job specification is pretty daunting. The patience of Job and the wisdom of Solomon are only the basic requirements." We demand also impartiality, independence, and fairness. Well, Mr. Speaker-elect, you have shown over the past 4.5 years how to protect that careful balance. The last few years in this House have been at times difficult, and you, sir, have always brought this House together. That was clear when we lost our colleague, Sir David Amos. And I know your guidance and support for members then was greatly appreciated. It is a privilege to be in this House. Our democracy is powerful, and as we have witnessed, it can be definitive. But I know that this House will, true to its best traditions, hold the executive to account. And I know that Mr. Speaker-elect will facilitate that. So in conclusion, Mr. Speaker-elect, I have no doubt that we will face difficult days together in this place, but I also know that I speak for the whole House when I say that we will all welcome your leadership and guidance in the months and years ahead.
I call the Father of the House, Sir Edward Lee.
Mr. Speaker-elect, as the first backbencher to speak in this Parliament, I seem to remember that almost the very first thing you said, almost before you even arrived in the chair to start your distinguished career as our Speaker, you said that your primary job was to defend us backbenchers. And I know that you will do that with enormous spirit and diligence. I know that this place is primarily about great events and the government being held to account by the opposition. But it's also about the right and the duty for all of us backbenchers, even if some of our views are a bit idiosyncratic, to have our views and to have our say. We all welcome the fact that we are such a diverse parliament in every single way. But above all, we are a parliament of a diversity of views. We are all equal, although, to be fair, some are more equal than others. But you will defend our right to speak our mind, to hold the government to account.
I'd like to pay tribute to my predecessor, Sir Peter Bottomley, who gave such wonderful service to this house.
Yeah.
And he sent me a lovely little note today. He said, have fun, do some good, and make people happy. And you, Mr. Speaker, I think you stand up every single day, and you can't make all of us happy all the time, but you try and make most of us happy for most of the time. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The Member of the House, Diane Abbott. Yeah.
I would like to congratulate the Speaker-elect on his election and say this. He has been a Speaker through tumultuous times, but he has never failed to serve with grace and expertise and fairness. I would also like to congratulate the 304 new members of Parliament who have entered Parliament after this election and say to them, it is a great job and you will never regret coming here. I would also like to congratulate the officers of the House who have organised such a meticulous and careful induction. I remember when I was a new MP, they just gave you a bunch of keys and told you to get on with it. So I have to congratulate the officers. I would also like to say that when I was a new member in 1987, there were only 40 female members of Parliament. Today we have 264. And some of us are glad that we have lived to see this. And I can't speak about the increased numbers of female members of Parliament without referencing my predecessor, Baroness Harriet Harman, who did so much to work to have an equal and diverse House. We are going into very tumultuous times. And historically, this House has played a role in these events, both nationally and internationally. And I'm sure it will be the same going forward, and we will be presided over in the excellent way of the Speaker-elect.
Yes. I call the leader of the Liberal Democrats, Ed Davey.
Yes. Mr. Speaker-elect, it is a real pleasure and privilege to say on behalf of these benchers, congratulations on your re-election. Yeah. You know only too well how tough a task you're taking on, so thank you for agreeing to serve. You've shown time and again your commitment to the vital role this House plays in holding the government of the day to account. The new government of the day, as the Mother of the House has just said, faces a very difficult task, clearing up the mess it has inherited. We on these benches will hold the government to account. That is our job. We will focus on the health and care crisis. We will focus on ending the sewage scandal. We will focus on helping people with the cost of living crisis. And Mr. Speaker-elect, the new government has a huge majority, and therefore it is a particularly difficult job for the Speaker to help the opposition parties as it does its job in holding the government to account. I'm sure you'll do it with independence and impartiality as you always have done. And we on these benches want to work constructively with you as you do that, as the largest third party force in this Parliament for over 100 years. Yeah. And for new members, can I say, Mr. Speaker-elect has always been a real champion for the security and safety of all members and all our staff, as well as looking after our health and welfare, and we are grateful to you for doing that, sir. Just yesterday, you asked after my health following my active campaign. And the House may be interested to know that after I had reassured you about my health, you expressed real enthusiasm about bungee jumping. So can I congratulate you again and wish you the very best for this Parliament?
Yeah.
National Party, Stephen Flynn.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I wish to begin by welcoming all new members to the Chamber, in particular those members from Scottish constituencies. There's probably a few more new members from Scottish constituencies than I would like to have seen, but I do look forward to working constructively with you to deliver in the best interests of the people that we are all so fortunate to represent. To you, Mr. Speaker-elect, I think it's safe to say that me and you didn't always see eye to eye during the course of the last Parliament. But in politics and in life, I think it's important to let bygones be bygones and to focus on the future. And I think events of that time showed us that me and you have quite a lot in common when it comes to both then and indeed the general election, because despite the best efforts and indeed the best intentions of certain people, we both managed to hang on to the seats that we hold so dear. Mr. Speaker, I do look forward to working constructively with you over the course of the coming weeks, months and years to allow us to best represent the people that we respect in the finest traditions of this House. Thank you very much.
I now call the leader of the DUP, Gavin Robinson.
Congratulations, Mr. Speaker-elect. We are thrilled to see you back in your seat, but for those new members of Parliament who have yet to understand just how this place works, some of them will learn through time that Jim Shannon needed no further encouragement. And so whilst the reference was appreciated, no doubt, by his mother and others, others will learn to see the consequences of it. Mr. Speaker, we have all survived, and some of us indeed enjoyed, a energetic election campaign. All of us will have experienced the odd one who approached you and said, "I'm not voting for you." I had my fair share. No surprise in that. But in the Guildhall Square in Londonderry, somewhere I wouldn't expect to get too many votes, this man came up and he said, "I'm not voting for you. I'm voting for Lindsay Hoyle." He was a Chorley man, and he impressed upon me the constituency grounding you have, the commitment you have to your community, the length of service you have given him and his neighbours, you and your neighbours. And he impressed upon me how fondly you are thought of within your home constituency. And I, in turn, was able to reflect to him how you have risen within the office you hold, how over the last number of years we have seen just how important it is to have a true champion for us as backbench representatives in Parliament. You have given us that. And it was a pleasure for me to reflect to him and have the ability to reflect to you and the House today just how fond we are of you, the solemnity that you bring to the office you hold, but that you never lose either the steadfast or the chirpy nature of your Lancashire roots. So thank you for putting yourself forward and being prepared to serve us, this House and democracy in this way. I, on behalf of my party colleagues, and I trust those others representing Northern Ireland as well, wish you well and thank you for it.
I now call the Leader of Reform, UK, Nigel Farage.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker-elect, thank you very much indeed. We are the new kids on the block. We have no experience in this Parliament whatsoever, even though some of us have tried many times over the years previously to get here. So we can't judge you from working in this place, but we can judge you from the way the outside world sees you. And I don't just mean the United Kingdom, I mean the world, because Prime Minister's Questions Time is global box office politics, and it's pretty clear to everybody that you act with great neutrality, that you have brought tremendous dignity to the role as Speaker, so we absolutely endorse you entirely for this job. And it is, I must say, in marked contrast to the little man that was there before you and besmirched the office so dreadfully in doing his best to overturn the biggest democratic result in the history of the country. We support you, sir, fully.
I now call the leader of Plaid Cymru, Liz Savile-Roberts.
Diolch yn fawr iawn, Lyfaredd, and I too rise to congratulate you on your re-election as Speaker of this House and to wish you well, of course, in presiding over this historic session of the new Parliament. And I'm heartened that for the first time in history, the proportion of women elected here is over 40%, and more than half of those are new to this House. It is fantastic to see steady progress towards proper representation. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to congratulate not just the incoming government for their victory, but also the smaller parties in this place. All of us here, whether we belong to the largest parties, the smallest parties, or no parties at all, we were all elected in the same way. Whatever the size of our parliamentary grouping, the principle of one vote, one value is the foundation of our democracy, and that principle should be cherished and defended for the sake of all our constituents. And I repeat now to the House, Mr. Speaker, what I said upon your election all those years ago. All those constituents are equal and they all deserve respect. We begin the work of representing and championing our constituents, and I have every confidence, Mr. Speaker, that you will continue to ensure that representatives here are treated fairly, because our constituents should be treated fairly too. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
The co-leader of the Green Party, Aidan Ramsay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker-elect, and congratulations on the support you have received from across this House today. And I can already say on behalf of the new cohort of Green MPs that we have been very pleased with the support you have given us, where you've shown that you go out of your way to support new members in this House and support MPs from all parties to be able to hold the government to account and represent our constituents. And I know I speak on behalf of all the Green MPs, and I'm sure all the new MPs, in saying we are very conscious that we are here first and foremost to be constituency MPs, to represent our residents, and we appreciate your support in enabling us to do that. May I associate myself with the remarks of the Prime Minister about the importance of politics being about public service? And I very much hope in this new Parliament we can all move to a less tribal form of politics where we work together, where we can agree and move things forward in the national interest. Mr. Speaker-elect, thank you for your support and congratulations.
I now call the leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very glad to be back. I'm very glad to see the results of that election. Many people in Northern Ireland are delighted with it, and we look forward to holding the new government to account for the promises that they've made to the people of the north of Ireland. I want to take this opportunity also to welcome all the new members, even the ones that I profoundly disagree with. The one piece of advice I would give every new member here is to remember that the Speaker doesn't just chair the meetings. He's the boss. He is in charge of everything around this place, and it would do well for you not to fall out with him. In fact, even a bit of sucking up sometimes is good. I want to take this opportunity, as I say that, Mr. Speaker, to thank you and to congratulate you for all the fantastic work that you did over the last Parliament. You were a champion, as you said yourself, for the backbenchers of this place. A champion for the smaller parties, even when some of us pushed very, very close to the line when we felt that certain things had to be put on the record of this House. You were there, he knows what I'm talking about, you were there to protect us from some of the legal authorities who would like to get at us some of these times. But anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, for that. I wish you all the best in corralling this new House. It is very diverse in terms of representation and in terms of opinion. And I look forward to the end of tribal politics. I think that'll be a sight to behold. Congratulations.
I call Sorcha Lucy Eastwood on behalf of the Alliance Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I warmly congratulate you on your re-election as Speaker-elect. I am here as the new MP for Lygon Valley and representative for the Alliance Party of Northern Ireland. My presence here demonstrates a changing, more shared and integrated Northern Ireland, and of that an alliance we are very proud. You have managed business smoothly and fairly, including ensuring that smaller parties have had their voices heard. Given the greater diversity of parties in this House, this leadership and precedent becomes even more important. I also want to put on record how well you represented Parliament on the world stage and at the time of the passing of our late Queen and the coronation of our new King. I also want to associate myself with the remarks from the Prime Minister about this job being of public service. All of us in this House do owe a debt of gratitude to our constituents. I will never forget the constituents of Lygon Valley, and I join with everybody in the whole House in looking forward to committing to public service for all. Thank you, Speaker-elect.
Finally, I call Jim Allister on behalf of the traditional unionist voice.
Mr. Speaker-elect, I join in the congratulations and best wishes to you. To this point, of course, I have observed your speakership from a distance. Now I will have the benefit of observing it rather more close up. And with me on my best behaviour and you at your tolerant best, I trust that we will have a mutually cordial relationship going forward. And I will certainly draw upon your guidance and the experience that you bring to this House. As I come to this House, I come on behalf of constituents in Northern Ireland with a very clear message, that Northern Ireland's place within this United Kingdom must be restored. We must end the partitioning of our kingdom by a foreign border. And we must end a situation where 300 areas of law in Northern Ireland are not controlled by this House, not controlled by Stormont, but controlled by a foreign parliament. That is an appalling constitutional affront. And my focus in this House will be in playing my part in seeking to redress that gross inequity.
Can I just say thank you for all the kind words from the parties? And just would be remiss of me not to say thank you to the previous deputy speakers. Yeah. I'm going to thank Nigel, Rosie, Eleanor, and Sir Roger for stepping in as he was leaving. So it is a big thank you to all of them.
I have to signify to the House the pleasure of His Majesty that the House should present their Speaker this day at 3:45 p.m. in the House of Peers for His Majesty's Royal approbation.
The House is suspended until 3:45. Thank you.